You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. You know, I think everybody's still recovering from the election. And one of the things that's struck me is that the statement, elections have consequences, I don't think it's been more real than it has been this past week. I really have just been astounded at the level of the rhetoric, the advent of these, I think I call them flash mobs, really, these protests that have popped up in various cities across the country. And finally, the truth is starting to come out about the fact that these aren't just organic grassroots protests, that there's actually an underpinning to this, which is bought and paid for by people like George Soros and his front companies, just to try to turn over the board. It's one of my pet peeves. If you lose fair and square, then you need to move on. And just to try to change the game after the fact is completely annoying. I think people were taking this with a grain of salt and just, I guess, laughing it off. But I think we're reaching a point where it's not funny anymore. And now it's just trying to disrupt our way of passing power, or the transfer of power, literally trying to just destroy that. I'm not sure how you see it, Dave.
Oh, I see it exactly like you do, Dr. George. And I was just sitting here thinking about if I had any power to point fingers, one, I'd be pointing the finger at any mayor that lets it happen in the city, any police chief that lets it happen. I blame the schools, a university that would bring in ponies and dogs to comfort their kids. Bullshit. I'm sorry, that's just baloney. And then then we have cities that are letting their school systems, high school kids, dictate and leave classes because they're so distraught. This is absolute baloney. It's baloney PC, and if people don't get a grip, and I blame the teachers, if they let their students get away with anything, they should be fired. Along with the kids should be suspended, and the teachers should be fired. That goes from elementary school up to college and graduate school, as far as I'm concerned. You know, when I was in school, and I know that it was like that for you, we didn't miss tests. You don't postpone a test because you didn't get your way. I've never heard of such a thing.
I haven't either. But now it's actually an interesting exercise because we're seeing an unfolding, a revealing of the power of the progressive liberal side of our society, of the education system. This is what's been sewn into the system up to this point. You know, we talked about the cry bullies, the meme that somehow being successful is a crime, and that you took it from somebody to get it. Forget about hard work. Forget about sacrifice. Forget about personal responsibility. None of those things actually matter in this type of system. Because you didn't succeed, then it's somebody else's fault. I've never seen, and it comes from the top down. I mean, I'm hearing, the Clinton campaign has come out with a litany of people and entities that's at fault for her losing. It was the president, it was James Comey. My favorite now, it's feminine women who are self-hating misogynists. White women, by the way, who are self-hating misogynists who didn't vote for her. It's their fault that she didn't win. What happened to your flawed candidate? You have all this baggage that you just didn't care. and you were just going to run, come hell or high water, but it's no one else's fault. The whole email gate would never have happened had she given up all of her emails when she was requested to do so.
Well, so, wait a second. It would have never happened if she had abided by the law to begin with.
Well, yeah.
And not had the damn server.
Square one.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Gee.
But that's the mindset. And then you get on TV and you say, oh, we're going to have an orderly transfer of power. For those that don't know code, I think we were watching the concession speech. She had on a purple part to her outfit. President Clinton had a purple tie on. And that was a nod to George Soros' purple revolution. They've already written about this. People need to stop listening to the mainstream media and start going online and looking at what they said, not what people think. It's what's been said. It's a purple revolution. They said it was to bring Republicans, Democrats together. That's not true. What it was is a signal to the Soros brigade that it's about anarchy. It's about making these riots appear, protesting a duly elected or duly won election, try to negate it and also break the spirit of people who voted for Donald Trump. This is a psyop, and it's still going on. And anybody who thinks that just because if you voted for President-elect Trump, if you voted for him, it's over, it's not. It's just beginning. And you can see that how it's rolling out with the Soros groups, with the mainstream media, with the hell-bent nature of trying to negate the results of the election, to try to smear it, to try to demean it. And it starts with all the rhetoric that she won the popular vote. I've seen a lot of things coming out that she didn't win the popular vote. They counted it on partial results. California wasn't completely counted. New York wasn't completely counted. If you look at the actual map of the election, it's 99% red, and there's little blue blobs throughout the country, mostly on the east and west coast and south Texas. But the rest of the map is red. So how on earth did she win popular vote? It's not even possible based on that heat map and in terms of the voting. So they're trying to say that popular vote negates electoral college. I can assure you, had it been the opposite way, and she had supposedly won popular vote and she'd won electoral college, it would have been the election is valid. Shut up. You're anti-American. Are you going to make a bet? That's what they would have been arguing.
You know, if I had any input to Trump, which I don't, but instead of the first thing being to abolish Obamacare, I think the first thing Trump should do is make it mandatory across the country from the time a kid can read, in the second grade, third grade, whatever it is, that every kid across the country and in college should be mandatorily made to take a constitutional class. They should be given a constitution. They should read it. They should be tested on it. If they fail, then they are put back, whatever. I don't care. But you know what, in my opinion, what needs to be done, these kids that are walking in the streets, marching in the streets and all this, they have no clue about the Constitution, and they don't know how damn lucky they are. We had a gentleman on the other day on the Classic Car Show that has written a book about the cars in Cuba, and he's... Bill Warner is his name. He's Mr. Amelia Island, as a matter of fact. But he's been to Cuba now four times writing about the cars. And he said, like he said on the air on the Classic Car Show, anybody that's marching, they should give them $20. That's the average monthly income of a Cuban. They should give these marchers $20 and send them to Cuba and make them stay there a year and find out what a life they have in the United States.
Well, that would involve them having a concept of what it's really like in the outside world. And that's not something that it seems anybody has a clue about. I agree. I mean, civics used to be something that people learned. You know, these people don't even know how many people are in Congress, what the structure of the government is, it's really pretty incredible. And I've read that some of the protesters in Portland didn't even vote in the election. How do you protest something and you didn't even vote? I mean, I could maybe kind of understand from a psychological perspective, you voted, your candidate lost, you feel put upon in some kind of way. But if you didn't even enter the process and you're out there protesting the process, it kind of negates your credibility, in my opinion. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not just them. It's actually the political set, too. Congress people saying this. I think Barbara Boxer is bringing up some sort of bill to scrap the Electoral College. That makes no sense. Talk about disenfranchisement of people in the country. So if you live in a small state, like Vermont, New Hampshire, anywhere but New York, California, Texas, where they've got a majority of the people living in it, then your vote will not count. That's the whole point of the Electoral College, that everybody, every state has a say-so, whether they're big or small.
You know, Dr. George, just a sub-note to that. You know, the more we've gone through this election cycle, the more respect, and I've always had respect for our founding fathers. I mean, they were so far ahead of their time that none of these idiot kids walking down the street would have a clue. But our forefathers did such an amazing job with the Constitution, and before that the Declaration of Independence, and then our Constitution, and the things that they thought about. I'm not sure we have a scholar today that would be on the level, well, besides you, present company excluded, but that we have a scholar today that could write what our forefathers did. I'm in love with my Constitution, and it is the greatest document, second greatest document ever written.
Listen, I'd rather be in this country than any other country on the planet, because I have a chance, everybody has the chance to practice, put into existence what they were put on this earth to do, their hopes, their dreams. If you've got a will and a brain, and in some cases no brain, because we've seen a lot of people succeed, you're like, how the hell did they do that? But this country will reward you. You're not held back for any reason except for your own mind telling that you can't. This is not the 60s. It's not the 50s. And all those people, the cognitive dissonance in this is astounding. You've got a black president who got voted in twice. It wasn't black people that put him in. It was white people. And quite frankly, it was the same group of voters, white voters, that voted for Obama that switched to Trump in this election. In one way, they're the most awesome people in the world. Now they're all racist. I mean, it's just your ideas were rejected by a peaceful transition of power. That's how our Constitution, that's how our system works. Nobody pulled out a weapon. Nobody committed a coercion. Nobody did anything like that. As a matter of fact, I think the election had a lot of flaws in it in terms of 3 million illegal immigrants voting. Voting booths that didn't work, flipping votes. You've got the media with its finger, its foot, its whole body on a scale for one candidate, and the will of the people still won out. That's even more of an indictment of the electoral process, and that the will of the people, the fact that they actually was rewarded, is the most amazing thing. It's not that Trump won, it's that the votes of the people for him actually were counted, and there were so many that it negated all the negativity that went on the election. That in itself is pretty astounding. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is, this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is, Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient, because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I want to reiterate what I said before the break because this is a really important concept. The way the structure of our government was created and how we elect our president was created was to protect the rights of the minority. If you really have one person, one vote, what you have is a system where you can have essentially mob rule. If you stack the deck and you put in people who want to vote a certain way and that cohort of people want to take away the rights of other folks, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, you name it, potentially you can lose all those rights in the onslaught of the vote of the majority. And again, each state, if you live in a small state, every time you guys vote for something, it would be irrelevant. You would have no voice in the election of the president. The Electoral College actually protects you, protects the right of small states. And we've seen over the past 20 years or more that there's been a concerted effort to rig the vote by having people come into the country who, let's be honest, the Democrats believe will vote Democratic. Why do you think there's been this whole movement towards, under the guise of racism, having the elections, having no voter ID for an election? I mean, how on the earth can that be racist, Dave, when you need to have show ID to get alcohol, to get on a plane? TSA is not letting you through there with, hey, I say I am. Why should the election process be any different? You have a birth certificate. Everybody has a birth certificate. You don't have to go and buy it. So for people to say it's costing people money, blah, blah, that's a complete lie. And they've used the black vote as the cover for letting people who are not here legally, who are not eligible to vote, get in there and vote. And the president said this before the election. This is classic statement now. If you vote, you are a citizen. What the? Are you kidding me? And they took him at his word. 3 million illegal people voted in this election. If indeed Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, that's within the margin of those people putting their finger on the scale and voting in our election. It's not right. And you know what? You said you would have President Trump do something with civics, but you know what I would do? I would have the federal government get involved and have every state redo their registration, their voter registration rolls. Scrap what you have now. Everybody has to re-register with ID. So if you can't produce a birth certificate, If you're not eligible to vote, if you're dead, you are off the voter rolls. And then I would get rid of the electronic voting machines and go back to paper ballots and put some ink on the person so you know that they already voted and they can't get it off. That's how I would do this.
I agree with every word you say. I am such a proponent of voter IDs. I was at the airport Saturday getting my TSA pre-check thing or whatever.
Oh, good for you. You finally getting it?
Yeah.
You don't have it?
No.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so I'm getting that. And, you know, what was amazing in this race is Trump got more of the Hispanic and black votes than
Romney.
Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, Dr. George, and you and I have talked about this many, many, many times off mic and away from this, you know, this, but, you know, I, before I die, I would like to see that it's not black votes, it's not Hispanic votes, it's not white, it's Americans voters.
Agreed.
You know, I'm sick and tired, quite frankly, of Afro-American. You're not, you know,
you're all Americans.
You're American.
I agree.
Same way with legal Hispanics. And anybody that's immigrated and they're legal, they've given up their citizenship or whatever to Iran or Iraq or wherever the hell it is or Mexico, and they've become Americans. And if they've stood in line or they've stood and taken the oath to become a citizen, they're Americans.
They actually, the people who become citizens know more about how our government works than the American citizens. They actually know civics.
Except for you and me.
For you and me. But, you know, I could brush up on it, too.
Sure.
But, you know, you lose these things if you don't stay abreast of what's going on. I had to look up what the 17th Amendment was yesterday. And that's where it got legislated in that the Senate got to have six-year terms. It changed how long they were allowed to stay, how long you could be a senator. So everything has been encroaching on really what the forefathers, what the Constitution was set on. Honestly, you know, they might have a problem with the amendments, but when it comes to the government enhancing its power, staying in longer, not being accountable to the people, that's a problem. And they do it all the time. The whole government, 50% of the government at least, has been co-opted by lobbyists and by lobby money and by foreign money. How can Hillary Clinton's campaign be 20% underwritten by the Saudi Arabian government? Nobody has a problem with that? How could you not? Well, thank you. But the media didn't.
No.
20%. You know, these presidential libraries, they're funded in part by foreign money. Either you are you stand for the American government or you don't. And you can't if you're getting money from foreign interest. And that the foundations, I mean, that's a whole other ballgame. I'm sure we'll hear more about the Clinton Foundation as it comes along. But this is not about Republican, Democrat, or the election. It's just the truths of someone who's supposed to represent our interests, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Your interests, and you can have a different set of opinion on how you get there, but it should be America first.
Hello?
It shouldn't be globalism. I mean, how can anybody say it's okay to lose a job here so we can go across the ocean, so you can buy stuff, cheap crap, back into the country, when your people aren't working? That you've removed whole swaths of jobs in our country. People are, and retraining them to do what? That's another scam. They're retraining. No one's ever been retrained to do anything that I can see. The $15 hour work, you know, wage increase that the people are seeking is leading to robots taking over for people. I'd rather see people get their, you know, $8 or $9 or whatever it is, $7.79, whatever it is, an hour, and then make their money on tips, because that was their money. You couldn't tax it. It was off, a lot of times off the books, and they actually made a pretty decent salary or wage that wasn't being taxed. That all changes. Everything is on the grid. You have to think about things about the bigger picture. If you go into the next tax bracket with a $15 an hour wage, your taxes change. Welcome to our world where you have to pay taxes and you don't get to write it off. And so you're losing more money with that $15 increase. You may lose, let's say Obamacare still exists. You might lose your subsidy. You might go to the next tax bracket. You end up taking home less, but you're making more on paper than you are in actuality. That's what people don't know. This is the subtleties of the whole thing, but hey, you had a win. You got to stick it to your boss, but now you're working two jobs. Now you have no health care benefits. All of this so that they can literally make us all debt slaves. That's really the goal of this. So when you go for your retraining and you end up in DeVry, which now is shut down, and you end up with this crazy loan, you took out $5,000, you owe $25,000 by the end of your education, and you don't have a job, you've just entered a stressful situation where you may never crawl out of it. That's what their job training has become. These crazy universities, for-profit, popping up, being supported by the government, right, in financial aid. It's a cash cow for the university. Government's not even getting paid back, and you've just created another too big to fail on the backs of people. Just give people jobs, for God's sake. Let the system work the way it's designed to work, which is if you have a good idea and it's the best thing since sliced bread and it's affordable, people will buy it. And if it sucks and people are shoved into it and it costs more money, they won't buy it, just like our healthcare system. Obamacare is crap. It's Medicaid for all. It is denying people care. It's limiting what you can have as a medication. It's making it longer for you to get treatment because it's not, you haven't been sick long enough or not sick enough. And then when you finally need it, when you have something catastrophic, oh, you're too old, you're too sick, palliative care, hospice, see you. It's ridiculous.
So, and it, you know, it's trickled down. I'm sure you've seen it more so than I, but it's trickled down into affecting those that don't have Obamacare.
Sure.
Don't want any part, but it's forced the doctors, if they're still taking, it's messed up the whole system. Hopefully, it will be changed and changed quickly.
If you get rid of the mandate, that's going to do wonders because people won't be locked into buying a product that they can't afford. And then it gives them a chance to look at options out there without being fined and taxed. That was the yoke that they put on everybody to make them play ball. And if Gruber had his way, they would raise the fines for Obamacare even higher, make it more painful. That way you have to get into the maze and run like the rat that they want you to be. It's just obscene. This guy has no right to run a system or to be an architect of anything. The elitist hubris, disdain that these people have for American people, for professionals, whether they be doctors, whether they be contractors, teachers, it's obscene. And they got exposed. And now they can't stand it because they're pissed because they got exposed. So what's the best way when you're out, you're on the outside looking in? You break up the game. You turn the board over. You make it so unpalatable for anybody else to just move along with their life. Everybody wants to move along. I think the average person, whether they voted for the Republican candidate or not, it's like, okay, it was horrible. It was a year and a half of hell. Let's see what happens. I'm done. Let's just move forward. That's a normal response. What we're seeing now is it's not real. It's not organic. It's the system trying to protect itself. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we were talking about language and how it's very powerful and how it's been used in at least for the past 20 years, if not longer. I think it's what propaganda really is, right? It's the use of language as a weapon. And that's what we have here. We have distilling things down to the smallest micro group, race, sex, sexual orientation, religious affiliation, anything to make you tribal, anything to make you belong to a small group that somehow has to fight tooth and nail against another group. It literally just enhances or magnifies the differences in us, and it also creates differences that don't exist. You know, I mean, for the education, for children in school or young adults in school and the best universities in the world to say that they're victims, and they're sitting in the best Ivy League, the best in the top 1% colleges, yet they're still victims. They're segregating themselves in dorms, eating tables. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. First of all, if you go to a school that's not a majority of who you are, religiously or ethnically, et cetera, then you're there because you want to learn from other people. That's what I would think, just, you know, on face value. But to segregate yourself and to, you know, demean other people and somehow demonize them, that's not education. It's not helping the situation, and it's creating a fire that didn't exist, and now it's being flamed. And now it's become such an identity thing, almost like it's a badge to be a victim. You know, it's like, who can be the biggest victim and get rewarded for it? Either by, not even monetarily at this point, it's just getting attention, which is not appropriate. And the attention that people are getting are not, it's biased. It's okay if it's one side doing it, but it's not okay if the other side's doing it. Either have a level playing field and discuss what everybody's doing and the same, you know, with the same standards, or don't do it at all. But the media is an extension of the progressive versus conservatism. That's just a label. What does it really mean? We were talking in the break. Progressive and liberal is not what their gender really is. It's about controlling someone's voice, thought police, victimology 101, and it's about bullying people by using yourself or using victimhood to be a bully. That doesn't even make sense. It's cognitive dissonance. If you're a victim, you can't possibly be able to bully somebody, but that's what's going on. I just heard that Twitter is having a new feature where you can just turn off anything that makes you feel bad, any kind of comment. I mean, what's the point of having Twitter if you can't put your thoughts and what you're thinking out there, right? So that gets negated. It's I thought this is, well, I think it's going to stop, and that's why I think the backlash is so bad. When you don't have an environment where you have the ability to complain, you just lost your platform. So people like Al Sharpton, what are they going to do? Let's say Mr. Trump brings in, or President Trump brings in, jobs to the inner cities, that there really is construction, that there is a renaissance in historically underserved areas. Why would you exist at that point? Who cares about what you think at that point? I think if people thought about who stands to gain, who stands to lose in this whole big picture, I think it would change how people are seeing what's going on.
You know, not only bringing in jobs, but, and I have no respect whatsoever for Holder or Emanuel in Chicago, but not only bringing in jobs, but he's got to bring in law and order. And if we don't have law and order, which addresses the marchers or the riots or the whatever the hell, we have nothing. But if he brings in law and order, then people in Chicago, like, how many times have we heard they're scared to go out at night, they're scared to walk on the streets? So you get law and order, people are out, they're making money, they're working, they're not scared to be seen on the street. He will have been a super success.
That's a renaissance. But it doesn't allow you to use the pulpit that's going on now. They want a sanctuary city, where what you're doing is you're putting people in who may not want to meld with society, who want to take advantage of people who are working, and there's no consequence. You've just encouraged those people to come in more so, already in a situation that's a powder keg, and you're giving them resources, you're giving them education, medical care, housing. What happens to the people who've been living there the whole time, who are barely holding on, who don't have a job, but someone's jumped ahead of them in line to get the job? This is what we're talking about. And then if you stand up and say, you know what, I have a problem with this, then you get smacked down as racist, sexist. You know, that's the bully pulpit that's being used, where the language counts. You've just empowered a whole group to break the law and shove it in your face and say, and what? Give me intuition free, you know, the lower college tuition, in-state tuition. But I'm not even a citizen in the country, but the person who is a citizen in that state can't get the same benefit. That's where people, I think, are having a problem. Everybody should be held to the same standard. Nobody's above the law, and nobody should be rewarded for bad behavior. That's what's going on. And because the government has been paying for these sanctuary cities they give them money to encourage this behavior. That's what they're doing. But you let them get up on TV and say, we're going to do us. Cut the federal funding and let's see how long those sanctuary cities last. They've been coddled, and we've been on the losing end of this, and it's manufactured.
Can I put you on the spot?
Okay.
Okay, we're a week and a day past the election. What's the medical profession? Are they your peers? What are you all talking about? And is everybody a cheerleader for getting rid of Obamacare?
That's a no-brainer on that one. I think.
What are they saying? What are you hearing from your friends?
Well, we're hoping, and people are going up to Washington to try to get the alphabet parts of Obamacare repealed, the meaningful use, electronic medical record use, MACRA, which is this value-based medical care, which you're trying to implement, population medicine, trying to get all that reversed, because it's not about health care, it's about control. And it doesn't add, if it goes through the rest of the implementation, the remaining regulations will put independent doctors out of business, which was the goal all along. Make it so uncomfortable, make it so costly to stay in private practice, either you leave or you start playing ball, join an accountable care organization, become an employee of a hospital. That process, I think, the pendulum has the potential, and I think it's beginning to swing back the other way. And now this is the fuel that will let all those doctors who were sitting on the fence and were going to retire, because We're talking about $130,000. I'm sorry, 130,000 doctor shortage by 2025. That's a total destruction of our healthcare system. It'll be driven by nurse practitioner, physician assistants, robots, anybody but the doctor once that happens. And I think, again, you can do whatever you want in a system where you have people who will go along, that they're part of the infrastructure, the foundation of it, to make it run like a conveyor belt. One, because that's the only thing they've been taught to do. Two, it's regulated and the laws work against them. If they were to try to work for the patient, they will be removed summarily. And three, you know, at the point that you don't have doctors running it, the system is completely broken. So we've been moving down that path forever, for about 20 years at this point. If we can crush the value-based system that's come online, get rid of the accountable care organizations, go back to free market medicine, instead of it being a pyramid where everything flows from the government to the hospital, and the hospital and its insurance friends and pharmaceutical friends run it, if that can be disrupted and broken, the pendulum will swing very quickly back towards the patient-doctor free market medicine. So that's what doctors, at least the independent ones, have been concentrating on. Right now, I think people have been moving towards a parallel system. Those that are entrepreneurial, they're not waiting around for the government to get involved. So we have cash-based practices, direct primary care practices, freestanding surgery centers and labs that give you a cash price. That's all over the country. Every city has one of those. Now it's about educating the patient. And when they're not mandated to take an insurance plan, and it frees them, because one of the ideas of the Trump administration is health savings accounts that are not linked to an insurance plan. So you and I can say tomorrow, you know what, I'm going to create my own health savings account. I'm going to put money in it. I'm going to make it a real entity, and I can stuff it any way I want with as much money as I want, and I get to write it off as a tax deduction. But more importantly, I can take that money and get plastic surgery. I can get my dental care. I can go to any doctor that I want. I can go to a different state. I can go to a different country. I'm using my money the way I want to. That's the difference. So people become consumers, medical consumers, but they have the power of their own purse to drive the system. Imagine the power you would have instead of being stuck in the panel or having to use the network of your insurance company, that you go to a hospital and say, you know what, I'm a cash-paying patient. I want to have the surgery in your location, but I already looked online and I found the price to be this at this other location. Can you match it? If you want my business, you'll match it. Trust and believe the hospital will match it. They'll make it a package. They'll make it one price for everything. And if you're really smart, you'll end up with being able to say, if I have a bad outcome and I have to go back for surgery, it's covered. I'm not paying anymore. That's what's really in the free market side of healthcare. If people don't know about it and start using it, then the monopoly runs unopposed. That's what they've managed to do. I was on an interview yesterday where, for whatever reason, the host just couldn't get his head around, you don't have to have insurance to get healthcare. He just couldn't get around that. I'm like, no, you don't. It's cheaper to use your pocketbook than it is to access using your healthcare, your insurance card. He just couldn't understand it. But that's what we have. That's our job as doctors now, is to educate people that there's a whole wonderful world of healthcare outside of this false, artificially, you know, lack that's created in this system, where only the corporatists and the cronies make the money on the back of the patient. While they tell you, hey, there's only so many resources, and it has to be this expensive, and you have to wait this long. That's total nonsense. You need to think outside the box. And now we have the power of the government not standing in our way anymore. It's not going to be demonizing people to open up their own surgery center and create value for a patient. You need competition. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week for a full hour of all the best and latest information on how you can get the skills and equipment you need to protect the ones that you love.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this is an interesting time that we're living in for the next couple of months, or at least until the 19th of December, when the Electoral College actually meets. It's going to be a very interesting period. And I personally am taking anything that I read and hear on the mainstream side of the equation with a huge grain of salt. They've been discredited from the get-go, and they never wanted to really report anything of substance. For them to it's just shocking, to say with a straight face, our economy is better than it's ever been, our healthcare system is better than it's ever been, it's cheaper, and it's better access. I mean, the list is endless of how awesome it is. Well, if it was so awesome, then it wouldn't have been voted out summarily, and the people who were or proponents of it being removed. That just gets negated as somehow it's racist. And it's just the system is inherently racist, or somebody else's fault or some negative reason. How about the reality of people weren't happy with the way the country was running? And here was our chance finally to step up and make a change. And people did it. Black, white, green, Muslim, Christian. He didn't just win the white vote. Right, they make it sound like it's just white men that voted for him and self-misogynist white women. No, it was a coalition of everybody, of people who were tired of this system. It's so negative. It's so draining. How can everybody be a racist, everybody be a sexist, everybody be a homophobe, everybody be Islamophobe? How can the whole country be that way? But that's the only thing that they had to run on. And now they're reaping what they sowed.
We're all in a basket.
Oh, I forgot about that. Demonization. And that's not by accident. Bernie Sanders, if people look at WikiLeaks, that same campaign was run against him. The only difference in this is that Donald Trump fought back. Bernie Sanders didn't. Had he done it, he would have been the nominee for the Democratic Party. They used the same thing. They questioned his everything about him. You know, was he, they're going to pull out whether he was atheist or not, things that he'd written about that may have been misogynistic. They were going to do the whole night. They did do the playbook on him, but he cowed to it. You know, he couldn't take the heat. And it's nasty. And it's identity politics. And it's on every level, whether it's true or not. And most of it's not true, but once you put that out there and you have the media constantly dinging it and using the same talking points, anybody who's, again, who's read WikiLeaks can figure this out. It's a concerted effort. They are, you know, the media becomes a mouthpiece for the candidate. Everybody's using the dark, divisive, that was one of the main two adjectives, monster, scary, all of these negative words over and over again. And people who aren't paying attention start to get colored by that. Well, he must be like Hitler or like a Nazi. There's nothing in the guy's history to suggest that.
If I called you the names and accused you of the things that Obama said about Trump a week and a half ago,
yeah,
or thereabouts, would you come back and do a show next week with me?
No.
I mean, I guess I give Trump credit for going and meeting with him.
Well, he didn't do anything. Obama. He had nothing to be ashamed of. I would be embarrassed if I were the person saying the things. That's the thing that people really need to get their head around, too.
Let me ask you, how does Obama get up, just like you said a minute ago, and say that I'm leaving and we're in the best shape we've ever been in?
Yeah, I had to turn off the press conference because it was laughable. And then if it was all that sweetness and light, then Democrats should be running the House, Senate, and presidency, because people would have been happy as clams that it's just all awesome. It's not. And it's delusional. And the rest of these people are delusional, but I don't mind if you're delusional in your own little corner, but when it starts to affect everybody, that's a problem. You have people who can't get ambulances through. You have people who've gotten property damage. You've got people who've been injured. It's a mob. It's not a picketing or a demonstration when you block a street and you damage property. And I can't believe nobody's being arrested because of this. But I think there's a bigger picture. That you create enough strife, enough terrorism. This is terrorism, is what it really is, couched in freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is nonviolent. It doesn't block a road. It doesn't block a highway. It doesn't keep ambulances and fire trucks from coming through. You can call people names. I don't care. That's not, you know, big deal. But it's a physical, intimidating, you know, presence that's causing disruption and chaos. It needs to be stopped. And all the people who are saying that it's Trump supporters, that's another laughable thing too. Everything I've read on the internet and actually have gone in to do some research, none of them has been Trump supporters. There's been children beaten in school because they voted for Trump in mock elections. One little child was put on the corner by his mom because he voted for Trump. And you see this, that was just heartbreaking. This little black child crying because his mother abandoned him because he voted for Trump in their mock election. This is completely ridiculous. You know, I can understand you want your team to win, but it comes down to if we have this happen, what's going to happen in football, basketball, every other professional sport, we couldn't run a country because your team lost, you just shut down the whole city.
With that being said, brings me to something else that has been pointed out a little bit, but you know, I hate this thing of everybody wins, and this is the mentality that no, not everybody wins. You have a contest, you have a winner, and you have a loser, or you have a bunch of losers.
You get better next time.
You play baseball not to give everybody a damn trophy. You play baseball to win, your team to win. And we just went through the World Series. You had one team that won, and I think they're trying to take that back or something. I don't even know what the complications of that. But, you know, you play a football game. You don't play it, and, you know, it's fine that after the game everybody shakes hands and goes their separate ways. But when we started this thing that everybody had to play and everybody gets a trophy for showing up, I think this is part of what we're seeing with the marches and stuff.
I agree. It was the same, everybody's a winner, everybody's special, everybody's a victim. I don't even know how that even stands together. You can't be special and awesome and a victim at the same time, but that's what this is. These are the, you know, the adult versions of what's been going on the kiddie set. And the parents are just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
And your kid is mediocre. Make them better, not just give them a prize because you know, they showed up to play. That's not how life works, and they want this to be just, let's just change the rules after the fact. Forget about the majority, and I do believe the majority of the country voted for Donald Trump. I don't subscribe to the numbers that they keep spouting, because they're not the fully counted number. Because he's already ahead, actually, but they just won't report it. But that's another thing. The media is just so biased in this. Just tell the your job is just to report. It's not to proselytize. It's not to put your finger on the scale. It's not to do that. And not to be an extension of the candidate. I mean, the fact that the pollsters gave money to Hillary Clinton's campaign should give everybody pause that the pollsters weren't on the up and up. And no one talks about the fact that the polls were stocked with Democrats. There was more Democrats polled than Republicans on all of those polls. So, of course, it would seem like she was ahead. There wasn't even that many independents. So it was rigged to look like she was winning. Hello.
You know? I love the fact that I got into an argument with another host, as a matter of fact, about, I said, you know, Trump stands a chance. He stands a very good chance. Just look at the rallies don't mean anything. It's a, you know.
Okay, 15 Hello? People versus 30,000 means nothing. And this is why he won, is because he didn't take a vote for granted, and he went to every corner of the country. He went in places that Republicans never go. He went and courted the black vote, the Haitian vote, the Latino vote, and that means on all of them, Cuban, Mexican. He went out there, Indian. I saw him at one of an Indian group. So he went out there and actually went through the filter. If you sat and listened to his speeches or went online and actually heard the speech, not the soundbite on the mainstream media where they made it sound, he never said that. That's where the people were able to get rid of the bias and the persuasion filters. Really what it's all about, the power of persuasion. Once you frame, and people need to go to Scott Adams' blog, brilliant guy. That's the guy who writes for Dilbert. But he's put this in very unemotional terms. It's about persuasion. They framed him in a way that made people, if they were biased to believe it, would believe everything that they said about him, versus people who listened to what he said, and it never, what he said and what he's lived and what he's done does not comport with the way they've been presenting him. I'm from New York, so I know him from living there. I don't think he's going to be the candidate that either the Republicans or a Democrat or the president think. He's going to be a moderate. He's going to be middle of the road. He's not going to shove through things with signing statements. And it's going to be by consensus. Now, the consensus now is we're going in the wrong direction and things need to be pulled back. I counsel everybody to take a step back. Stop leading with your emotions. Give the guy a chance. And for those who are hell-bent on stopping the process, I think we need to take another look at what you're thinking as well. On that note, let's take a... on that note, I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.